Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you got to do.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you on this fine day, sir?
I am in a good mood.
Good mood. So here's the thing. We have lots going on right now. So loud. See, this is already going to piss me off because I can't mix it. Is it just me that's loud? Let's do that. I could fix that. So here's the thing. I went and got a cable that lets us do the Periscope. Anybody who is social media friendly talking in a bullhorn. Oh, my God. I hate this. Never mind. This may go away right now.
Yeah, I understand.
Periscope is, I guess it's connected to Twitter where you can like stream live videos. So right now, if you go to @DadPodcast, if you happen to be listening to the MixLR, which there are 82 people doing right now. Holy balls.
Really?
Yep. So if you listen, you could go to @Periscope and listen to the Dad Podcast there. And I've been working this on doing like pre-show stuff. If you just want to listen to the audio and do not want to see our ugly mugs, go to mixlr.com/dadpodcast because that is probably a lot easier and more likely to continue given that the audio is already bad on Periscope. And anyway, so that's what's going on there. Here's what's going on in my life. If you go to
before we jump to your life, I wanted to say a couple of things. Number one is I know I've been pressing since probably the third minute I was ever in the studio that this should be on camera.
Yeah.
Now that I'm actually looking at myself, I'm realizing what a terrible mistake I've made.
This is like making a sex tape. You and I are making a sex tape right now. Yes. And we're like, oh, this is going to be fun. It's going to be spicy. People are going to get to see what we do. No. And then it's like, and then you go back and you watch. And go, is that what I look like when I do that? I turned it on and I was getting ready for a show, and I'm reading articles. And then I just realized that there are people watching me just read something.
Yes.
And I don't like that.
I understand, but you know what? They probably are enjoying it.
No, they're not. They already saying, minute one, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Here's what I thought would happen.
Right.
I thought that I severely underestimate the popularity of this show. I thought I would turn this on because it's not connected to anything, you know what I mean, important,
right.
I would imagine. So I was like, oh, by the way, as soon as the show started, down to 12 listeners live on MXLR. Evidently, they were just here for what afternoon delight.
Oh, that's funny. I was so excited.
I know, me too. Unless it was a glitch in the Matrix or something.
No, you're right. They were listening to your easy listening setup.
No, or they just were listening to me do the pre-show stuff and behind the scenes,
funny.
And that's all they... But I don't know how this works.
We should put that out as a podcast.
Right? So here's the thing. So I would forget that there would be people watching and I would look up and then I wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
So now, and I think, here's what I've learned. I think I can, are you trying to drink off camera? Is that what you're doing right now?
See,
I can't handle this. I'm already too distracted by it. Put the blinders on the stupid horse leading the carriage.
Yeah.
And let's just do a stupid show.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say.
Yes.
With regards to this, then we can never talk about it again.
is
that. First, there was a kind of a mild complaint that the chat room was too much of a party and so on and so forth. Now we're, we're adding this. Yeah.
Justin ramps it up. I'm just trying it. I don't know.
Right.
I'm just trying it. I'm not very good at this stuff. So it's.
No, it's fine. I just thought that was what I was laughing to myself.
And to watch me try to mount this camera in here.
That might have been the highlight.
Oh, my gosh.
It's never going to get better than that.
83 people should have seen that because I'm like, I'm so stupid. A smart person would turn it off and hit stop broadcasting and then figure out how to frame it. Because I did that. I was like, oh, okay, got it. And then I hit start broadcast just to see how it would work.
Yeah.
And then first person follow, it's too close.
Yeah.
It's too close. And then I was like, oh, so I'm trying to set up the shot a little bit better. And they go... They go, "How's that?" And I kind of get back in the frame, and then some smartass goes, "Oh, I can still see your face, so it's not good."
It's like from the point of view of a picture when someone's hanging a picture.
Yes,
yeah,
that's exactly right. What it is. Well, right now the only way I could get both of us on this little tiny screen is it's got to be on an angle of some kind.
Right, and every time somebody comments, your face is obliterated.
I hate this. And now, because the audio is so bad on Periscope, people are saying, turn this down, but listen on MixLR. How you can run multiple apps on a phone, like, I have no idea how any of this works. So I'm going to move on. I posted a picture on our Facebook page, facebook.com/dadpodcast, of now, I don't know why it is that this happens. I remember as a young child when I got dogs, and I would just be so excited to have this dog.
Yeah.
And the dog, and my father, I knew, never wanted the dog, didn't like the dog. But the dog would always follow my father because I guess he's some kind of, I don't know what it is, some kind of calm, assertive presence or something.
Right.
It's like the animal knows who hates it the most and then kind of gloms on to that person.
Yeah.
And Penny is doing that, our new little Tibetan terrier dog.
High five. At least that much is going right for me.
And so, well, here's the thing. I'm not against it. I never thought I would enjoy having such a small dog, but I kind of feel like...
I mean, it didn't get past me that when I walked up, you were cradling her in your arms and carrying her around.
It was the most exciting thing that happened on the introduction of Periscope to the show. Yeah. Is people go, "Hey, can we see the new pet before the show starts?" I was like, "Oh, you want to see Penny?" And I left.
Taking requests.
I almost threw my back out getting in and going into that. Now, a smarter Periscope person would have taken the camera with him.
That's true.
And then gone in there.
Right.
But I go, "Oh, I'll bring the dog out to the studio." And then I wish I could say I was doing it as a joke, but I put the dog up to the camera. I go, "Oh, look at the pet. Who's the Penny, the big girl?" This dog, now, we've been very good.
How the mighty have fallen.
Right? We've been very good. So there's a picture of the dog cuddling with me on the couch, and I'm borderline passed out from the other night.
Yeah, it looks like you're in some sort of a...
coma.
A fog, a beer fog, or a...
Then
roll coma.
The funny thing too is that so this morning she gets up to go to the bathroom, I guess at 4 a.m. Natalie's in, that's her department. I believe that if you just let the dog go, no, then eventually the dog will learn to pee at, you know, 7 a.m. when we get up, or 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, but this morning she climbs in bed, and I'm half asleep, and I just kind of notice that she has maneuvered herself in a position where I'm rubbing her stomach, like I'm just
rubbing. This is Penny.
This is Penny.
Okay.
Not my wife.
Okay.
I'm rubbing, which is another point. You have pointed out to me that I've had more physical contact with this dog than my own wife.
Right.
That no longer continues. I will be making the sweet love tonight, and that dog will be out in the rain.
All right. As long as you're sure the dog is out of the room.
Do the dogs get into it? I've never had dogs in the bedroom when making the sweet love.
Our dogs don't get in. I don't know.
Not
I'm
get
not
in
with
on it. I'm saying,
no.
You hear about, like, because you're wrestling around. Like, I've wrestled with the kids, and then the dogs get excited, like, arr, arr, you know. And Bill Engvall has a joke about that if the dogs growl, that's how you know you're doing something really good. You know what I mean? Like, but I've never had that experience. So you have what is a pack of dogs that sleep in your bedroom? So has it ever been to where they're like, arr, arr.
No.
Or they just put their paws?
That's what Luna sounds like.
Don't give her food after midnight.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked over and the dogs are just staring at you, judging you? Has that ever happened?
No, it's much more like they're like when you have a college roommate and they're trying to sleep while you do the thing, but they're in the same bed with you. And you just get these baleful looks.
This image of a curled up chihuahua, like one eye open, going really, like, oh geez, but just kind of rocking to the thrusts.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Isn't our life great? This is what we do.
Absolutely.
This is what we signed up for. We said, you know what? We're gonna shit out a couple kids, and we're gonna have awkward sex in front of our dogs.
Yeah, well,
that's living the dream. I would like to see Keith Richards pull that off with his rock and roll.
So, how long did it take before Penny was sleeping in the bed with you? Because your big dog doesn't do that.
No. We do not. We have a no dog in the bed policy.
There you go. It's working perfectly.
Yeah, so far nailing it. No. this is going to make me sound more hypocritical, but it's the truth. So there was one night where she woke up early and was like, she was bored. And so she's like pouncing around the house and everything, and we're like, shut up, you know. And then we did the thing like you would do with a baby, where you're like, okay, just come here and I'll pet you. Just shut up, so I can.
Right.
And then you realize that you're still not sleeping because you're petting the freaking dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And you're trying to, you ever do this? I've done that where you try to come up with a rhythm that for some reason you think you could do in your sleep. So you're petting her belly, and I'm like, if my wrist could just be automated right now, and I could close,
we'd be set.
And then or you try to do the slowdown move. Mm-hmm. Thinking if I just go slow enough, then still to them is still movement. And so then you stop moving like that's I got it. And then the dog like nudges you with their nose or something
right,
like that.
Right.
So we had that happen one night, and I kind of was like, listen, we can't go down this path because then we're going to be the Doolies. No, I didn't say that. I said then what I honestly said was that it's unfair to the dog. It's like, you know, we allow it for a week and then we're going to get fed up with it eventually. And so I kiboshed. I said, get off the bed, out of here.
Right.
And then this morning, though, I kind of caved. So I decided to amend the rule to where the dog can sit there if I'm awake and in the bed. That's what I've decided, I guess, the rule is.
Well, as long as she understands it, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, we ratified the constitution of the household rules.
Two-thirds majority voted.
Rocky was the only nay.
Okay. And,
because that's what it sucks so bad to be old, big-ass Rocky
absolutely.
Right now.
Absolutely.
Although what's great is... and it's
I like, see the writing on the wall.
It's so pathetically true, though. Like, Rocky gets more walks, but it's only because the kids want to go walk the little dog.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, to be the new dog in the house is the thing I want to come back.
But that's great.
Only to know that a decade later, you eventually will. I can only look forward to when Penny, though, is the old dog. And maybe that's what Rocky daydreams about. It's like, one day, bitch, it'll be you. One day. Like, all dogs have this understanding that we all know how this is going to end. You two will meet your maker and end up outside, you know. Oh, it's so hilarious. But anyway. So that's what's happening with the dog. What else is going on in the world of, I think that's it. I think it's all been dog stuff and they always want to find the toys that I'm going
too much. Yeah.
Right. Natalie wants to find the right
one,
treats.
Buying another one.
Oh, let's give it. And I'm like, what? No, maybe the dog just doesn't like toys. The dog seems to only like kid toys. And funny because the kids don't care because they're not playing with toys anymore. They're all in the Disney Infinity or the tablets. Like, it's a new era where physical toys are beneath them. That's pedestrian. You tell them that that's all that you're going to do. Like, no, none of that. There will be none of that.
Of the other.
There was another thing. I should really write this stuff down. Because there was another thing that happened to me in the suburban-esque lifestyle that I can't remember for the life of me right now. And for some reason, I hope that saying that sentence would help jar it to the forefront of my mind. And the only thing, because I think it was also dog related, or was it just bed related? I don't know. What's going on in your life? Anything exciting? Is it all the same boredom that I'm dealing with?
Mostly. No, I feel doing pretty well, feeling pretty good. The party continues for Luna at her new job. She had a half day Friday because they went to an early picnic lunch. For her department.
Are you
kidding
me?
I'm not kidding you. So, just for those who are counting, there's been
a Comic-Con.
She's been there less than a month, I think.
Okay.
Sort of a Comic-Con type thing in Anaheim. A employee appreciation at Disneyland where there was a parade. Well, the regular parade. They didn't throw a special one for her. And the fireworks were canceled.
What if they did? What if they had a parade just for new hires? How anybody would ever not want to work there.
Yeah. We had our picture taken with Mickey. It was very exciting. And then a picnic, a half-day Friday picnic.
Oh, my gosh.
As she has fallen into it.
And she hates it.
No, that would be awesome. But,
right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, I got to go to this family picnic after work half day today. How do they get anything done at this Disney?
I don't know.
Do they have so much money raining in?
No, here's the thing. It's HR. Who knows what they're doing?
No, they're nothing. Stopping women from getting harassed like the good old days, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
To me, that's all HR does.
Yes.
We had...
they're the killjoys.
That's what I was going to talk about. I had an interaction with a person... where she's a young lady and she's pregnant. And it's this thing where it's kind of part of the underlying tone of this show where she's pregnant and I didn't know she was pregnant.
Okay.
And I'm having this conversation with her. We're trying to pick food out. And she's like, oh, I can't have the lunch meat because I can't have meat that you don't know is uncooked was the conversation.
When you pick up the hitchhiking teenagers, you should really just not go shopping with them. Just
really?
Take them
you don't take them to the
Ralphs?
That's not. No. I thought that was part of the convention of picking up teenage female hitchhikers. Why is she got to be teenage, first off? How many teenage pregnancies do you think I interact with?
I don't know. To make it as creepy as possible.
Oh, okay.
I'm super.
How come everything I do is creepy?
Well,
I can't interact with another woman and talk about her unborn child?
It just seems odd.
Okay. Well, I had an odd interaction with another woman.
Okay.
And
buying groceries together.
And so she goes, "Oh, I can't have this." And she says, and I said, "Oh," and she goes, "Oh, well, I'm pregnant," is the way she says it. And I said, "Okay." And I did the thing where it's kind of like there's a subtext where you know that
Are you sure it's mine?
Yes. No, I said where you like maybe you don't. The way she says I'm pregnant, you're not sure if it's just that she's a monotone type person. You know how this person that doesn't have like lots of ups and downs in their inflections?
Yes.
Or if she really is not that happy about the idea of being pregnant. And so somehow subconsciously that triggers you and your monkey brain to really get into her pregnancy to kind of help her get amped about it.
Yeah, she's like the verbal equivalent of reading something on like Facebook or a tweet where you just don't know what the inflection is.
Yes.
She needs a wah, wah, wah.
She goes, "Oh, I'm pregnant." And she put her hands out like, there's that.
Now it's out.
And And so I was like, I go, "Congratulations." And then I said, "Well, then you can't have any of this." And then it was kind of weird. And then I said, I called my kids assholes or something and said they're pains in the ass.
Right.
And then I said, "Oh, but I'm sure yours will be different." Like expecting that to be a joke. And she goes, "Oh," and she kind of laughed and went, "Thanks." And which is more of like what I had unintentionally done, I think, was added stress to the idea that she's going to be a mother.
Yeah.
And I think it's what happens now. Like it used to be back in the day. And even I feel like where I grew up is that if you were pregnant at 24, that was a win. You know what I mean?
Right.
But now I feel like if you're pregnant anytime in your mid-20s, at least in Southern California, you might as well be a junior in high school or a freshman. Like the way that people ask and like talk about it, it's like cause she was just like, "Oh, well, okay, thanks." And then I go, "Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, seriously, it'll be fine." And I go, "Did you get baby wise?" And so I try to talk to her about the books that helped me and everything. And I think also when you're in your mid-20s, you're like, the idea of reading books about this child that I'm not even sure if I am excited about having. Like, it was just a very, very weird thing.
What to expect when I wish I weren't pregnant.
Exactly. That's the one that we should write. Because I'm looking at it, and it's funny because it always goes back to that thing where it's, you know, parenting, honestly, parenting is not fun.
No.
There's not a lot of fun to it. There's a reason why on this show we call them moments of the week. It's because they are very few and far between and in most cases fleeting.
You know what I'd like? I'd like if one of those other shows where they're just constantly dripping sweet syrup on the life of being a parent, if at the end of their shows they did a moment of the week
where it was bad,
just some bitter, horrible thing.
We actually had a horrible interaction with Sebastian the other day.
Yeah.
He didn't feel like interacting with his 3D modeling.
Oh.
Yeah, he didn't want to play Legos for that day. And I was like, "Oh no, how am I going to teach him, you know, object permanence?"
I'm sorry. End scene.
Oh, you're not going to share this week, Tim? You're not.
I can't outdo that.
You want to have another object of or moment of horribleness with one of your pets again? I'm sorry that my children aren't as perfect as yours.
Oh my God! I wish I were smart enough to go there.
That's so great. That's so great. The idea that there is somebody out there talking about, "Oh, we had a rough day, actually."
Yeah.
But no, I think, and that's what I think it is. I think that on some level, that this poor lady is kind of carrying this burden unfairly. I think because she's probably kind of scared, as she should be, and probably going, "Man, this is gonna suck." But when you think that, and you're growing a person inside, I think that that's you go, "Oh no, I'm a horrible mother. I don't love this kid," and that's not true.
Right.
You could talk about being the fact that you don't like these people and still love them. We do it with family all the time. That's exactly what family is. You're like, "I hate that bitch, but I'll see you Thanksgiving and I'll give you a big old hug." And not in a way that it's like, "I don't mean it." Does that make sense?
Yes. And chances are she could do the worst things she could think of and still not be the worst mother ever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There's a very good chance.
And I told her, and then I had to do the thing where it's like, because she's very young, And yes. I had to say, like, so is this your first? You know what I mean? Because right. you can't judge anymore.
I have all these questions as well, and I wasn't even there.
Right. And so she's like, yeah, it is. And so I go, oh, okay. You know, and it's a weird thing, because what I want to say is, like, hey, if you're worried about this and you think you don't want to do it, don't worry about that. Everybody goes through that. That's
right,
fine.
Right.
Don't beat yourself up because you feel like I don't want this kid. But I'm not. Honestly,
I know,
like,
she hasn't said any of that, really.
All but she was, has with all her eyes. She really has with her eyes.
It's all her fault.
It is.
Look at the way she was dressed.
She was asking me to tell her to not be self-loathing about not wanting her child. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. That wasn't projection at all.
No. Here's the thing. I'll tell you the honest truth. I absolutely wanted Jacob. I was afraid of having him.
Yeah.
I did not want Jack. I am super glad he's here. Super, super glad. Like, I love everything about him and what he brings to the family and to the table. I'm excited about both of their futures. But it is unfair, an unfair expectation, in my opinion, to be able to have that foresight when you don't even know what being a parent is.
Right.
And then society, I think, puts a lot of pressure on us to be super happy about
it. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, the fact that you feel weird talking even to a therapist about saying, I don't think I want this kid, for fear that even, like, they would judge you.
Right. Well, you might want to be worried that they'll call someone and report
right.
you.
And that's what I'm saying, too. It's like, this is going to get really, no, I'm not going to go down. The dark path I was going to go down is that they were talking about the legislation when somebody comes and says, like, to their therapist, they say, you know, I have feelings about children that I feel like I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
That the liability falls on the therapist to report them. And the therapist can decide, I don't want to report them because I want to help them. But if something happens.
Help them do something to the children?
No, help them to get over these urges, right?
Not an accomplice.
No.
But.
And so, but when something happens, then the liability then falls on the therapist because they're like, well, you knew about this 3 months and you decided not to tell. So it's like a weird thing that then the therapist, to cover their ass, are always going to report, right?
Right.
So then if somebody goes to a therapist, they know that they're always going to report. So they're less likely to kind of talk about and try to get help through their feelings. Now, I think all of us listening to this all have kids and we're like, yeah, lock those fuckers up. Let's play it safe. You know what I mean? Like, that's the best way to go. But if you take like 20 steps back and look at the big picture, you could kind of wrap your mind around, because I can't see anybody who has those urges getting fixed through a conversation.
No,
I don't
they're not
know.
Going to.
Right. But we don't know without a shadow of a doubt, I mean.
But here's the thing, that just because you have the urges doesn't mean that you're necessarily acting on any of it. And so.
So you could just be a spokesperson for Subway. And awkward. So, but my point is that, so if you feel uncomfortable and you can't go to somebody and say, like, this is how I honestly feel, then you got to carry all this stress with you unnecessarily. Whereas if you could just be honest, because here's the thing. I think 90% of us do go through that where it's like, man, these kids, they suck, especially when they're babies.
Yeah.
And then they become teenagers again. I can't even imagine what that's like. I mean, you know, it's like you're like, fuck me. When does this just get easy? Is it 21? Nope. Guess what? Now you're moving into a house. I got to help you fucking get a down payment. I got to help you move.
Right.
I got to buy groceries for your ass. And then now you're my dad. I mean, I'm 36 years old and I'm still calling my dad going, hey, what do you think I should do about this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like from my angle, it's easier stuff. But so, to go back to my point, I get why that would all be daunting. I get, but to be able to see 30 years down the road when you have no perspective, no idea, no relation to it other than your own life as a child and how your parents treated you, it's very weird. And I wish that we could find a way to make everybody feel more comfortable about saying, you know what, I'm not fucking happy about this at all. Because you can have those feelings and still go through with it. You know what I mean? Because I really think that people really take it to a dark place to think that if I'm not super excited about being pregnant, chances are I'm going to hurt this child when it becomes a person and not just a lump in my stomach.
I really wish you'd said all of this to her.
This is all that I wanted to say.
Yeah, wouldn't that have been awesome?
I just wanted a croissant sandwich. I just wanted it. I just tried. I was going to get a quesadilla if it didn't have brie in it. And now you have me rethinking my entire life.
Yeah.
You fucker. And one tear falls down her face.
Was she wearing a ring?
No, because I think her fingers were so fat because of the preg. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't think she was. I didn't look that far. I did not, honestly. And then it was funny because she came in offering Pringles. And that's what's great about pregnant women that I wish they could just fess up to and we could kind of make fun of it without them getting so self-conscious about it. Because she comes in. She doesn't have the waddle yet because I think she's only like 3-4 months in.
Oh, okay.
But she's eating Pringles. And it's like, it's awesome. I love watching pregnant women eat junk food. It is the coolest. It would be my video pornography, but not for arousal purposes. It just seems like it's the equivalent, because it's kind of, I guess, offensive to most people.
Yeah.
So I guess the best comparison I can make to it is it's like Hop Sing and Bonanza. Horrible Asian, you know, stereotype.
Right.
But it's really funny.
I'm delighted by your impression of a large woman walking in with some Pringles.
Right?
It was a smaller can of Pringles.
Yes, okay, it was.
That was a very good,
I did a good pantomime, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so she's coming in, she's like, oh, would you like a Pringle? And I think I did the wrong joke. I go, no, you can't eat just one of those. And so she's like, okay. And then she offered it to the other guy who was there. And he's like, no. And then she goes, wow. Like, she just kind of flashed on him. And she goes, whatever. Doing a bit. And he goes, I'm just going to chalk that up to hormones. But then she kind of gave him a look of like, oh, really? Which is awesome. And it's a fun thing that guys stupidly do where if you point out the menstruation or hormonal emotional changes or whatever, weirdly enough, it's less of a, hey, you're doing that, and more of a thing where it creates, oh, I am, and calming down. It actually, weirdly enough, is a trigger for that.
Oh,
it actually causes that. It's saying, are you PMSing? Are you on the rag? You remind me of your mother. You know, those things are actually Pavlovian triggers that cause a woman to bitch out. I'm trying to think of what the, like, if I could combine the word
Hulk
bitch.
Out.
Yeah, and Hulk.
Like that, I see.
You know what I mean?
She-Hulk out.
She-Hulk out. This has to be a joke a stand-up comedian has done in 1989.
Probably.
Like, who would want to be the guy who's with She-Hulk when she's menstruating? Oh, my God. How could you? There's no stopping that.
Right.
Hug me! I need salty chocolate! What? So that was my awkward interaction at work, and that was the good times that I had.
It took
there.
Me a very long time to realize that was a work interaction. That's how
I didn't say that until just now, and I probably never should have.
That's why I made it a teenage hitchhiker, because I'm like,
right, because if I'm not at work, I'm hanging outside high schools looking for dates, Adam. That's exactly what I do. What do you think I do all
hang
day? Hang on a second. Let's spend 5 minutes talking about what you think I do all day.
Well, I can get the log because I have a very good idea of what you do all day.
Take it from your windowsill?
Yeah. You don't walk that dog or take those kids this morning.
Yeah.
Rocky tried to get out when you were leaving the house. You had the door open. I heard the bark and I heard you yell at the dog.
No, that was Penny, but there was no bark.
Okay. I heard you yell at somebody. I thought I heard a bark. It's probably one of my own dogs.
This is another great marital interaction where two people have a very firm opinion about what the reality of the situation was.
Yes.
And so the other person, like one of you always goes, right. Well, okay, if that's what your crazy mind makes you think happened.
Right.
I heard a bark. And let's just wrap, to give you my perspective of it.
Yeah.
What's more likely, okay, that the guy who's watching it happen, equally frustrated, and that emotional rise causes a flag in memory and creates that traumatic situation for him in his short-term memory?
Yeah.
Or that you heard a random dog barking because there are children walking by their houses in a suburban area?
I understand.
Was it a boo?
Yes, it was.
Well, you're right. I stand corrected.
Up
check
here,
the tape.
Up here, bitch.
Check
right.
the tape. It was. You're right. You're absolutely right. Now I remember I needed to hear the boom because the stupid fucking dog that should be dead saw me walk up to my porch
my
with
God.
An umbrella. How could you be a watchdog and you can't recognize your master with an umbrella? All of a sudden, dogs are the dumbest fucking creatures in the world. I put an umbrella above me and now I'm the mailman.
Yeah.
And now, colorblind is the worst thing that can happen to somebody. Oh my gosh. I don't even think dogs are really colorblind.
I just think they're stupid.
Yeah. They're so stupid. And I'm like, and then I put the umbrella down. I'm like, it's me. But he's already like in shark chum mode. Stupid
he
ass.
He's in Cujo mode. You were going down. So,
yes, I was yelling at the kids.
What I'm saying is I keep tabs on you very thoroughly.
Good.
If inadvertently. So, I do get thrown off now that you and your wife are switching cars. That kind of threw me off the other day. I thought you were here. We were texting with each other.
Oh, that's so right, because you needed a dollar.
I needed a dollar, oh, sadly enough.
The Dooleys have the most random needs in the world. You need to read a, there needs to be a book about what neighbors ask for.
That's
because
a good
it should
idea.
Be cup of sugar, flour, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So let's go back through the track record of what the Dooleys have asked for. So we'll go back immediately. One single dollar.
One single dollar bill.
Was the latest request. Before that was a tin snips or metal cutters.
There was that.
But if they were termed as metal cutters.
Yes.
Before that, it was, can you make sure the dogs can get in and out of the house?
Yes.
And then before that, it was, I should write this down.
You
now
should.
I know why you do.
Yeah.
It was a heads up because you guys were gone in Hawaii, but Diego was home.
Yeah.
And it was like a heads up of saying, there's going to be a dog walker coming and going. And like with a description that I got from Luna of this person, and I was very confused as to why this information was arriving
was
to me in text format on my phone because there was no call to action.
Yes.
So I was like, and I'm at work. And so that it's the same thing where it's like, I don't know. Here's the thing. I never look at it and go, these people are crazy. That never crosses my mind. It would be better if it did.
You're too kind.
I'm always looking at myself. I'm always going, what is it that makes me so crazy that I'm going, am I supposed to do something? Am I an asshole? Because I'm looking at this going, I don't know what you want me to do.
Right.
I'm at work. Even if there was a lesbian coming and going from your house.
It didn't have any FYI in it, or it did have an FYI, or it just didn't have that at all.
I don't even know. I wouldn't even know what FYI means.
I wouldn't put it past her. For your information. Come on. You know that.
I just put away from keyboard. That's what I always
That's
told
funny. That's funny. We do ask for a variety of things. I did want to throw you under the bus for a minute with that text exchange we had.
You and I had a text exchange?
After the exchange that I had with your wife. Or reporter.
Oh, after?
Yes. You you sort of went, what's that one? Inception on me, I think.
Oh.
I think you're going to continue.
Yeah, I did a lot of meta jokes.
Yes, you did.
Is it still spinning? Oh, this is all right.
Yeah. No, it was very wicked.
Neighborly interactions between
the
Lancinis and the Worshams.
I say, I asked him for the dollar. Look, it's embarrassing enough that I didn't have a dollar. It was the last minute. He goes, I need $3. I don't know why he sounds like my wife.
Everybody, maybe you only do one voice.
And she had two.
Just do Michael Caine.
Well, first she wanted to give him $3 in change. I'm like, it's a thing for a school function. We can't have him look like that much of an orphan. So rather we should go through the neighborhood begging for a dollar. And so then...
There
we go.
This is good for you reading our text conversation music.
So I say, he says, you say, no, I can't. I'm at the station, but I can give you one when we do the show. I said, thanks anyway. Of course, no one has cash. It came up at the last minute. I said, no one has cash, including your wife, because by then I'd already gone and knocked on your door, thinking you were at home because of the fact the car was in the driveway. And then she answered the door. I don't want to say she was half-dressed, maybe a third.
Yes.
I don't know. She was holding something to her body. I'm like, so I felt just awful, and I'm backing away going, sorry to bother you, sorry. She says, no, I don't have a dollar. I said, I saw the car. I thought you were, I'm sorry. trying not to look, it was like one of those things where, when you're talking to somebody who's like a hair lip or a pardon.
Well, hold on. Before you make it seem like my wife answers the door in her lingerie, let's make it perfectly clear.
Yes.
What you're describing is probably my wife in some kind of muumuu-esque tank top, nightgown, and yoga pants.
Okay. Fair enough.
Is that what you saw? That's what you think.
If that's what you think.
Let's check the tape.
It may well have been something reasonably modest like that, but the way in which she was hiding, because she was doing that thing where you're sort of just
putting
your eyeball out.
She was trying to keep the dogs
out.
from getting out.
That's probably what it was. It doesn't matter. The full effect of it was that, when you're talking to somebody, And you don't know where to put it. They've got a mole that's in the wrong, you know, and you just don't want your eye to drift there or whatever. So I was trying to talk to her without looking like I was trying to ape her or oogle her, Google her, whatever it is. So I didn't want to get
in trouble.
Which
made it much worse, I'm
sure. I'm sure it did.
If you had just looked wherever you wanted to look, well, which would probably be her eyes, I would assume.
I think so. I think that's what it is. Yeah. So then you say, LOL, did you ask her? Because I'm sure she doesn't. I don't let her carry cash.
Yes.
And I said, zip. And in the middle of getting dressed for work, I felt bad. You said, yeah, you really should stop talking to her altogether. I say, who was talking? And then I say, actually, your previous joke played right into the darkest part of my paranoia that somehow I've she doesn't like me and that she thinks I'm a weirdo. And then you say, talking equals looking, comma, interacting. Any form of verbal or nonverbal contact. So now this is the second.
To be fair, I had started that text before you had sent the other one.
I know.
But so, I read it and hit send.
Yeah. And then you say, LOL, I like that you're... I like your joke that my point was a joke. So now you're saying that you're not joking, essentially. And I go, that's two in a row.
But as a joke.
But as a joke, yes. His joke is that he's not joking about something that I feel anxious about anyway. And I sort of go, look, this is a problem area for me. So he just keeps working it. He keeps poking the stick in the wound. That's two in a row, I write. Now I am fairly sure it's not a joke, although everything you say is a joke. Actually, that makes three when I realize you've done a third one. I'm almost ready to not talk to you anymore just to be safe. And then you say the real joke is that I'm never joking.
I am funny. I am very funny.
And then
to
I wrote
everyone else but you at that
moment. And then I wrote, I fucking hate you. And then I thought for a minute and I went, he thinks he's joking.
What do you mean?
When he says that the real joke is that I'm never joking, he, you, think you're making a joke. But I went meta on it, and I went, the fact is, he really never
so
is joking.
So you're in the snow, like Fort Place.
Yes, I'm in the snow.
And I'm still,
you're still
in the van off the bridge?
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Got it. Okay, good.
Because I'm going, actually, that was very real and very deep, is that he's constantly thinking he's joking while he's simply using that as a way to tell everyone the truth of what's in his heart.
So you honestly think that I pretend to have a sense of humor so that I could say my real feelings and then hide them behind humor?
Well, you're
Is my nose
you're
bleeding
implying-
right now? Tell me my nose isn't bleeding because this is really hurting my head.
No.
Periscope, is my nose bleeding? All right, I'm good. I saw myself.
I'm not saying any of it is conscious. I'm saying that, yes, to a certain extent, humor and laughter is used defensively.
Right.
As a even when the comic premise is offense or offense or rage or pushing out. It's a defense. So anyway, I just went.
Well, wait, why are you bailing on your very?
I'm not
your
bailing.
Point.
So I wrote, "I fuck you." Not I fuck you. I wrote,
you
I
got Russian on
you.
Me. And, I fuck you. I fuck you on your ass.
And then I wrote, "And I understand because I realized that you're actually no." And I got kind of. I went kind of cold when I thought. When I went back and sort of rewound every conversation we'd ever had, which I could literally do, and and thought, oh, it's a confessional, and then
the show is a confessional.
The show is a confessional. Okay. He's dressed up as a comedy. And that he's getting these things out of his office soul.
I don't know if I'm doing it right now, but you may be the only person I've met who overthinks things more than me. And I like it.
Okay.
I got to be honest. I like it. I like where your head's at. Because here's what you just did. You were telling me why I do things in such a good way that I was like, is that why I do this? Like, you made me lose track of who I was.
God, I wish you were my wife.
Right? Because I'm so malleable.
Well, no, I just mean that she never will. When I tell her why she does things, she never falls for it. She just gets mad and don't tell me what to think. So I was actually convincing you. Well,
well, it cracks me up while we're talking about wives and communication between neighbors. Is that
anyway? That was some fucked up shit you did to me.
Listen, it was not meant to be fucked up shit. It was not meant to be fucked up shit. Here's my honest interpretation of it is that I say those things because I think that they're funny, right? Because you say things like to me too that are like sound like oh fuck you, and I don't look at it and go wait is he really trying to
true enough
you know what I mean
I do
so that's why but I so I think really what it is it's more that you're worried that my wife doesn't like you, which I can tell you my wife likes both of you. If she did, here's the thing, the honest to God's truth about my wife
if
is
she knew the truth
she doesn't if she knew the truth
yes.
What do you mean?
Nothing, go on.
I know, I want to know.
I'm just saying if she knew really how dark and horrible I was, she wouldn't like me. She doesn't listen to the show. So I'm off that hook.
Look where your mind is already going. No, it's not that. If she, here's the thing. If she knew all of that stuff, she would do one of two things depending on her mood. Her mood, she is very moody. And how she interacts with people beyond our family. See, our family is number one to her. And she cannot see beyond our family very well, in my opinion. She's not interested in friendly relationships. She's not interested in a girl's night. None of that stuff is appealing to her.
Huh. Okay.
But when it happens, like if she goes, like she had fun hanging out with you guys at the doing the Matty Petties a long time ago. When,
oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like that was fun to her. She had a great time.
Yeah.
And when we go out to dinner, all that stuff, if we whether it's you guys or other friends, always has a good time.
Other friends more than us. I mean, let's...
No. No, see, again, this is what it is. You're putting the truth in there that is not there. It's not there. But here's where I can tell you where you are right.
Yes.
Chances are, if anyone, and I'm not just saying you, I'm saying the mailman. I'm saying it could be fucking Ed McMahon's lackey with the Publisher's Clearinghouse $1 million check.
Yeah.
If they knock on that door at a time that it's inopportune for her, she fucking hates it.
Oh, absolutely. It was
she
a terrible time for me to
hates
knock.
It. That's why she, I don't think, she never said, like, what the fuck is Adam doing? Words never crossed her mind. But whatever face that you saw that I didn't see, if it looked unhappy, I want you to know that it's not a face that is reserved for you. That is reserved for anyone who darkens that threshold.
I understand. No, I projected a lot of it. I've got a wife who has to get ready and has dogs to deal with, but doesn't have the young children, you know, swinging around 2 feet away near the door making madness with the puppy and the big dog and everything else. So as soon as I saw her, I went, I should not be here.
But see, in her mind, and I don't know, I know her, but I do not know what was happening there. If I could see it, I could exactly break down. I can madden it for you.
Right.
I could Lombardi a power sweep or whatever for you. But in her mind, she's sitting there going, okay, I get that you want to leave, but you're already here. So damage done. Tell me what you need, and then if I can help you, I will.
Right.
But don't elongate this discomfort that I'm feeling with my neck and crooked through a threshold.
Yeah.
But just say, you knock on the door, you see it's bad, go, do you have a dollar? She'll go, no. Go, my bad, sorry, and walk away.
Yeah.
She'll be like, great, good, nailed it, crushed it.
No, it was all my head, and then you added to it by going, never talk to her, I'm not joking.
Well, when we can look forward to never talking to each other again.
There you go.
Because I will never be good at that.
And then later in the day, I had to write her on behalf of a friend of mine.
That's the one I was going to tell you.
Yeah.
And that cracked me up.
And so I was like, and then I never heard. I thought, oh my God, it's all over. I've gone too far.
See, Adam, as you've heard on the show, and I wanted Luna to know this interaction that you had with my wife.
Uh-oh.
Because you pride yourself to be like a great communicator. Yes, yes?
Yeah.
All right. So here's what happened. Adam sent a text message to my wife basically saying, hey, my friend is looking to get like a house, essentially, like, and wants to know what he needs to do to get a home loan kind of stuff. And that's what Natalie does for a living. She's amazing at it. Won't find somebody better, in my opinion. So, but he sent that text message on Friday.
His thing is exponentially more complicated, but go on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but it's like Superman. Who do you call?
Right, exactly. And Natalie is the person you should call, you know? So you send her a text message, but when Natalie is not at work, she is not in work mode. She is not like me. She punches out. She may come home and talk about it. Like, that was annoying for 5 minutes, but she catches herself going longer than that. She's like, whoop. She just like etch-a-sketches her brain and becomes full-blown mom. She's right now, that woman, honestly, and I want to talk about that too, is that she is super mom. But she So she comes home. You send the text message on Friday. She had to work all day Friday. She had to work all day Saturday. And it was a full day. There's not a lot of moments where she's just kind of sitting there. Like, you know, it is not Disney that she works for. There's no fucking half-day picnic lunches. It is like, unless you're pulling in $1 million worth of revenue a month, your ass is grass. That is the vibe at Logix. Maybe she should jump over to HR.
Yeah.
HR would not be for my wife. She can't handle that corporate BS crap. But anyway, my point is, so she was that, and then you sent a text message that I don't know if you meant to send to her, but it was a text message that you sent to your friend saying, hey, I tried reaching out to her, never heard back, but she's got a busy life too. And but it's not like, hey, guys, here's how you could connect. It wasn't a group message. You copied her on the message you sent to him, and she like looked at it. She goes, did I piss Adam off? And I said, why would you have pissed Adam off? And she reads me the message and then reads what you wrote. And I said, no, I know Adam.
Yes.
Adam is not like going, well, yeah, well, fuck you. See, you didn't help me. I go, that's not how he's wired.
Right, right.
I go, he's wired because here's what he does. He fucking talks into his phone when he texts. So the idea of saying the same thing twice when there is a copy-paste function, I think you are an early adopter. That is my impression. So if there is a technology to be had, whether it makes things more difficult for you or not, you're like, I'm going to help. I'm going to be the head of the spear to make this common knowledge and work for everybody. So Adam will be the text-to-speech guy who's helping Suri learn all of our words for us. And of course,
some
polysyllabic words like a motherfucker up in this. So anyway, so I go, he's texting it, and then he wants to copy. So he just goes, well, I'm not going to say all that again and then try and spin it in a way. So he just copied. He held it down, copied, and pasted it as a way of keeping you in the loop.
Right.
Because he did not think – he's probably also over worried about sharing your contact information with his friend Tony.
Right.
And she was like, oh, because she's like, why wouldn't he just send the message to her and me and everything? So that's why she was like, no, I'll help him.
Gotcha.
Just reach out to me at work because she keeps all of her work stuff at her work.
I love that entire description, and I am going to talk about something now that I did not intend to talk about.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We're out of time. We gotta go. Stay frosty, everybody. It was good.
mildly embarrassed by it.
Uh-oh.
But
is this about another dream you had about me, or where I have a flapping vagina under a dress or something?
No.
Okay.
Did I have that dream?
Yeah, do you remember that?
Oh!
Yeah, you talked about it on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was under a dress. I can't remember what.
I remember now, the J-Lo.
My vagina changes so much.
It was the J-Lo dress. And
the jungle one?
Yeah,
that
green one. Cool. Okay, so I have all this built up over the incident at the door and the jokes that you're making, and then she doesn't respond. But I could see that it had been delivered but not read, and I didn't think she could have read the whole thing. And I was very up in my head about this. And I thought,
you poor thing.
Yeah. I said, I don't know how like annoyed at me she's going to be if I come back and double dip on this request. I don't want to be like this annoying guy who just keeps asking for a dollar. And when you make sure my dog can climb through the window and whatever it is, you'll notice many of those things you talked about were Luna. But I have done my fair share.
But it was, they were all asked by Luna while you were away. And so I figured, this is not serious. This is definitely a joke because it made me laugh. But I like the character. I put people in comedy characters in my head in a movie.
Sure.
So the comedy character I put Luna in is like, ah, crap, my husband's someplace else. You know who else has a husband who doesn't do anything? It's this guy over here can do this for me. And that's why I get reached out to it.
We were talking about you in that capacity. Sunday night, we were watching Fear of the Walking Dead of the Walking Dead. And there was a situation where the man hadn't come home yet and the mother with the kids had to decide whether they were going to wait or leave.
Yes.
And I said, put that on pause there for a second. I want to ask you, would you wait for me or would you go? And she said, oh, my God, I would wait for you. I would wait for you. And I'm like, yeah, don't wait for me. And she says, what do you mean? And I said, just put it back on. She put it back on. I leaned over to Diego and said, don't wait for me. Justin's across the street. He's got a gun. Get him involved.
I got two now.
This is exactly. This is in the event of a zombie apocalypse. Yes. I'm giving them instructions about how to handle. I'm
Listen,
passing them on to my son.
People give me way too much credit in the zombie apocalypse thing. Your marriage is not the first one that says, hey, you know what? If the fit hits the shan,
yeah,
go get Justin. Right. I'm not. Everybody needs to go to Tom Hewitt's house. In my I'm sending my family to fucking New Jersey.
Right. Yeah.
And his poor wife is going to wonder why this chick and two kids are showing
Mecca.
Up.
Right, exactly. All right, so that was an aside.
That's funny.
So I was racked with, like, have I overstepped my welcome? Ooh. You know, have I done the wrong thing? I'm like, well, he said so many times what a genius she is that everyone should talk to her, but, you know, anyway. So, but I'm up in my head about it.
Right, way too much, dude.
Torturing myself.
You gotta give yourself a hug in these moments.
I have to say, this was all just made infinitely worse with your fucking jokes. But in any case, so I'm torturing myself. And then I finally go, now, wait a minute. If I'm the guy who goes over and says, I'm not sure if you saw this, because you could just send another text. Hey, I'm not sure you saw my previous, because it had never been read.
Right.
I thought, I don't want to do that because that's still me being a dick. Here's what
it's
I'm going to do.
It's not you being a dick. It's you being a person.
I know, but I already think I'm in the dick area. So I'm like, how do I nudge her without sounding like I'm nudging her? I write her a text as though I'm sending it to my friend Tony, but I accidentally sent it to her. I deliberately wrote that text to make it sound as though I was writing to
that
my
makes
friend.
It so much better.
I know.
She goes, I swear to God, she goes, is Adam mad at me?
Right,
and I go,
right.
Why would Adam be mad at you? He goes, because he sent me a text that was meant for his friend, but his friend name is Tony. Like, how does he think that I'm going to think that he meant to send this to him on accident?
Right.
And accidentally sent it to me? And I said, I go, no, he wouldn't do that. I go, I told her the explanation that I gave to you. So it's even better. See, this
That's
is what
beautiful.
I love.
That's beautiful.
My wife can't communicate with me, but she unknowingly sniffed it out like
right,
Scooby-Doo.
No, right to the thing. Right to no, I'm glad you were there to take her in the other direction. That's awesome. So anyway,
all right.
She was lovely. She wrote back right away and said please and shared her information. And I gave hers to him or him to hers or whatever it is, and I'm out of it now.
And here's the thing. To be fair, she gets that a lot because and it's my fault too in that
it's
throw
like being a doctor.
Right.
Yeah.
I throw her name out there, and I don't do it because I'm trying to make money for us, honestly. I do it because she is the one person that I have seen in this business that is not – because she cares, obviously, about making a buck. Otherwise, she wouldn't be there. But – more important to her is doing the right thing for the people rather than making a buck.
That's what I was hoping because I'm not sure there's any money in this for her.
Exactly. And what's great, too, is that she's also the person who could look at people who are in a fucked up situation and look you dead in the eye and go, things are really screwy for you right now.
That's
and now's
the
not
other
the time.
Reason I want her.
You know what I mean? Like
that's
you got Or she could say, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to use the system and you need to shift your money this way and that way.
Yeah.
Wait 2 years and then you'll be ready. Like she's super smart about all this stuff.
Yeah. So that's what I – that's why – because somebody needs to talk the truth to this fucker. So I yelled at him the other day and I hung up on him.
Oh, somebody's calling me. Oh, my father. He hears what we're saying, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, I
women
find
don't
a way
know how to handle finances."
To turn that. By
is,
the way,
wait, is Barbara your? She's your stepmom.
Barbara is my mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law, because she's. I saw a comment on the Dad Podcast Facebook page from her, so you might want to be aware.
You saw a Facebook post from Barbara.
Barbara commented on your picture of Penny with you on the thing.
On the Dad Podcast?
On the Dad Podcast. But she commented
care.
On the Dad Podcast site. I'm just saying that it felt like she was closing in.
The mother-in-law's closing in.
Yeah,
she's circling around.
Yeah, she's going to
Barbara,
hear
are you listening, Barbara? Barbara, are you listening? Hello, Barbara. I don't think she likes it if I call her mother-in-law. I don't know what she wants
probably
me.
Not.
I should. Somebody, you know what I should do? I should use this humor defense shield that you talk about against her.
I didn't
and just
invent
do say,
it.
Like, say things like, mommy dearest, just really like crank it up
right.
a notch.
Right.
You know, just.
Well, that's more passive aggressive, but I understand.
How is there a difference between what you're describing and passive aggression?
Because when you do
and
this-
are you really the person who should be telling you this? Giving the 48-hour clusterfuck of miscommunication that you've experienced.
Which I blame on you.
of course you do. I love it so much.
Oh, something happened up there.
Uh-oh.
But
we have a caller. Maybe it is my mother-in-law.
would be awesome.
Or somebody who's going to be giving a shit, I imagine, also could be part of the truth. I click the button, and then it will come up. That's how this works. All right, caller, who is this?
This is Tom Hewitt.
Hello, Tom. How are you? Can my family come
I'm
live with you
okay.
in a zombie apocalypse, but Tom?
You are welcome to come to my house, but right now, no one can live there.
Right, but in a zombie apocalypse, I really think that the whole permit issue kind of falls out the window. They got bigger fish to fry. So
yeah, I got news for you. In a zombie apocalypse, all the zombies come and make sure you have a permit.
Oh, really?
That's what all these permit people are zombies.
Of course.
Because the first thing that happens in a zombie apocalypse and martial law becomes the big thing, the first thing that regular suburban citizens want to kill are home inspectors.
Right.
That's right. It's going to be the truth. And you know what? The first thing they want to kill, not in a zombie apocalypse, is home inspectors. And mother-in-laws.
And mother-in-laws
as
well. Yes. Yeah. Was that why you're calling in? Because I said my family's going to come live with you?
You know what? I was already on the line. I was going to say I'm actually working on the house right now. I'm putting a deck on. I'm trying to get things going. I've been listening to you and the ladies again. And I'm like, it seems like old times. And then when you mentioned my name, I was like, oh, okay, I'll actually stay on the line. Because usually you call and then you guys finish the show and you hang up and you're like, oh, it's nice to listen to it on the phone. That's a really special event.
I don't mean to. I'm going to get better at this. I'm going to get better at the phone thing, and that's going to be my mid-New Year's resolution, my quarter three resolution.
Here's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know how you're always saying that Jack and Jacob, they can't get a job because you're not allowed to get a paper route in, right?
Uh-huh. I'm listening.
Put them on the boards.
Oh, they become the call screeners.
Hi, your call is important to us. We'll be with you in a moment. My dad stops talking.
And give him that flowchart thing of like what answers to say when people say things, like when they're telemarketers and stuff. Right. I like this. I like this a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got them on there. They're good to go. They can find out what they want to say. He could, either one of them could kind of check it for whether it's funny or relevant to the show at the time. And they're like, yeah, this is someone worth talking to. Pick up the phone, Dad.
God knows we don't have anybody checking that now.
Not really that funny. It's, it's Denver Drew again. Just hang up, right? That's
yeah.
the job.
No, I like that. I like that a lot, Tom.
And I like that he throws Denver Drew under the bus.
Yeah, why not?
It's where he
feels. All
right, all right, all right.
But someone else has to be thrown under the bus other than you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate that. See, Tom gets it.
He does.
See, all right. Well, thank you. So everything is going horrible with the house still, I assume?
Absolutely. It's the worst it could possibly be. Tomorrow I have a fight with the electric company, so that'll be fun. I'm telling everyone I'm going to need an alibi or a character reference real soon. So if you guys want to start writing those, that'd be great. I was hanging out with you guys in California when my mother-in-law passed. It's a tragedy. I'm really sad about it, but, these things happen. She was older. That's who we're living with while the house is being redone right now.
Is your mother-in-law also the home inspector? Is that what's happening?
She might as well be. You know what you ought to do? Tell them. Oh, here we go. Wait a minute. That tile's not going to look good. Listen, don't have an opinion about it. Just we're throwing it in there. We're getting the damn house done, and we're getting back in.
You could have my dad's rule out. Was grab a screw gun or shut up, is what he said.
Well, it's funny, looking you all loud and wrong was, I had posted that a while ago, and that was my grandmother's line all the time, and my wife looks at me like, don't you dare say it. Don't you dare say it. Because every time she walks out of the room, I'm like, oh, look at her all loud and wrong. And my wife's like, don't say that to her while we are in this house. Just once.
Oh, you're living the Butcher Drew lifestyle in the in-laws while the house is getting done?
I am. Well, we were at my folks for a while during the summer, and now that we're back in school, it's easier for the transport for the boy and all that kind of stuff if we're there in the mornings. It's just the usual circus.
Living the dream, my friend.
Running the show, and the elephants take charge of everything, and you got to clean up a bunch of gum. It is.
That's the best.
I won't hold you any longer.
Yo, you're great, Tom.
I just want to say it feels like old times working on the house and laughing with you guys. So I just wanted to say hello.
Hello.
And in the zombie apocalypse, I got it all. I got nail guns.
That's true.
Weaponry. We got spare food.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Yep. You know what I would like to see happen? I would like to see a zombie killed with a table saw. If we can figure out a way. It doesn't have to be mobile. I mean, you could just run its head. But if there's a way to swing a table saw like a chainsaw, I would like to see that in some kind of situation.
That's a tall order.
Well, I might line it up if you give me ideas.
Honey, why do you want mom to dress like a zombie for Halloween?
I need you to hold the board down with your head. Hold it down with your head. It's the way it's done. It's in all the woodworking videos.
No, do
put
it for
your
me.
Head right there, and as I run it through, hold it down tightly with your head. Thank you.
You're the best, Ma.
So helpful.
All right, Tom. All right,
thanks.
Take care. We'll talk later. Okay.
Bye.
The ladies that, of course, Tom was talking about is the fantastic ladies at naptimeradio.com. Okay, so.
I thought he was referring to me. You and the ladies.
So the thing I want to wrap up with is that I decided, somebody sent me a message on the Facebook saying that they said, welcome to the world of being a working father and also a stay-at-home father.
Yes.
So it was an interesting thing because I think what he was just describing was a working parent, but because of the way his hours work, which I think are similar to mine, is that whenever you are not working, you are also the home caregiver and primary caregiver.
Right.
But occasionally, like he's I think in a hospital or something like that. So he has to work like crazy long shifts. So he, like I did when I did stand up, I'd leave and blah, blah, blah. And I have decided that we will coin these people. They need to call themselves this super dad or super mom. Because up until this point, we've been throwing that term around too loosely, I've decided.
I think so.
Yeah.
And also it's usually used to describe more often a super mom than a super dad, let's be honest.
Right.
And that super mom that it's describing, you could just as easily call bitch.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, usually. Super mom. So, and that made me realize something that I think and I'll work on this. This will be a work in progress. But I think right now, definition of super mom is a mom who works full-time.
Yeah.
As well as takes care of the house and all of the children while dad is also working full-time. So if you have... And I still think it counts if you have some kind of a deadbeat husband situation where he's the guy who comes home from his, you know, very low stress level job. Like if
Luna has a friend. Like
if he's
a
member of SEAL Team 6, I mean, you could still be super mom because you married a super badass. But I feel like he's entitled to come home, crack a beer, and sit and watch the game and just go, I need some me time for a second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Or... I think I would also grandfather you in to supermom status if you have...
Grandmother you in, but yes.
Okay, whatever. I think grandfather's a better term.
Okay.
If you have like four or more children, I think you're automatic. That's supermom. You know what I mean? And you don't forget their birthdays. I think that has to be part of it.
And you like at least one of them.
I'm going to take that back because Heather Jones, comedian from Omaha, Nebraska, who's been on the show, she has a story that, much like your interaction with me, I don't know if she's joking or not. I feel like it could be a joke, but she has a joke about how a couple of their middle children, the younger ones, that she's forgotten birthdays. So what she did was she just took a picture and her husband photoshopped in a cake and balloons in the background. So then it looks like they celebrated their second birthday.
That's funny.
It's all birthdays that the kids couldn't remember, like one or two or three.
Right.
But anyway, so I think you could still forget a birthday depending on the number of children. She has, I believe, 17.
You might need to keep in mind that like the Duggars, would that lady would count as a supermom under this
that
definition.
Rule. That's a great question.
You might need to have a cap on the number of children as well.
I think we're going to need to have a sanctioning body.
Yeah.
That's what I think we need. We need to have a sanctioning body because I would like to revoke her supermom.
Oh, I see.
Because here's the thing.
I would like to suggest that Natalie's be the sanctioning body.
Natalie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let her body be the sanctioning body.
Her body be the sanctioning body?
Yeah. Well, you need
a
sanctioning body.
No, I'm not saying a physical body.
Oh, okay. I'm
saying like NASCAR or the NFL, job. I'm saying that there's a board of executives that handle things like Deflategate, but much better. So they would be able to go, listen, your kid grew up to be in his 30s preaching about his moral values and only to have himself be a sexual deviant.
Right.
So I would say you lose supermom status, unfortunately.
Pull your ticket.
Yeah, much like pulling a man card. And same thing goes for dads.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. I think you can also win if you have changed just as many diapers as your wife, but managed to get peed on less. I think that earns you a credit. I don't think it gives you full-blown super dad status, but it gives you a credit. For right. anybody who doesn't understand, in the entertainment world, to get a SAG card, you have to get Taft-Hartleyed a couple times by being an extra.
I understand. You could be a boy wonder, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah,
sidekick.
Like sidekick.
You could be a sidekick to your super mom wife
there you
or
go.
Lady.
Yeah.
I like this. I like what we've changed a lot of lives.
I think so.
So. I've almost ignored the chat in both Periscope and everything like that. So, wait, he didn't say you had to be like a super mom. I don't understand. I can't read it, and it's less interesting, but I love everybody that listens to the show, no matter how you listen or watch now, for at least this one time. I don't know if I'm ever going to do this again.
Well, and if we do, it should really feature less of my fat head and more of yours.
No, nobody wants to see me.
Why would
they
want to?
They want to see you drink. They don't want to see me. They barely...
Well, on a drinking show, I would have you. If you're going to put this up next time, I will bring that Jack over here.
No, please
and
don't.
And they can watch me
it
get drunk.
It scares me when you drink. It really does. It makes me very worried for
you
your safety.
Okay,
yeah, well. I don't feel like you're going to get belligerent, but I just worry for your That's safety. That's what I do. We need questions, everybody. Send in your questions for Rachel Gibbs. We got to get her on
I
the horn.
I want her to come down here.
You Send warned her?
I want her.
Oh, want her. She
Write
can't come
your
down.
Questions.
No, she's very busy. She's got
well,
a new
whatever.
Job.
I just want her on
the
show.
She's doing her own podcast. She's not going to need us. She's going to come on here once, talk about her podcast. Everybody's going to jump ship. Yep, it's going to be like tumbleweeds on Periscope for you and I. And that's how it's going to all shake down. You could give us a call and listen to the show over the phone if you call 877-222-8323. But I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better about answering the phone. That's step one.
How?
That's step... I don't know. Well, to be honest, it's very easy at this point.
Yeah,
by just
true.
Looking at the screen and picking up a phone call,
right.
I'm already better just
by the
in
way,
this one episode.
I wasn't notifying you that there was a phone call. I was pointing at the other thing,
oh.
and you misread what I was gesturing. So the fact that that phone call got answered at all is a
Nailed
miracle.
Nailed it, Master Communicator. Nailed it. Oh, wait. No, we can't leave. Can we go a little bit long? Let's do 5 minutes, because this is a great story that I want everybody to hear. That's not it. Oh, don't tell me that went away. Oh, no. Oh, I'm going to have to bail on it. I'm going to have to bail on it, son of a bitch. I'm going to have to bail on it.
Oh, man.
That sucks. Wait, hold on. Let me see if I can find it here. Yes, this is it right here. This is a new story of a couple. Listen to this.
Is something like this going to happen again?
No.
So this is a lady interviewing a couple that was found having sex in an empty parking lot.
I don't know. Everyone wants to be spontaneous. Not being disrespectful to you, have you ever been spontaneous? But you see my point.
He's drunk and telling this to a reporter. I'm not being disrespectful to you.
Oh, this
you
is ever... like during coitus?
No, this is right after. This is after the cops came and were like, okay. Hey, knock it off.
I consented.
In the beginning.
In the beginning, I consented at all. But I had a little too much to drink, so I passed up.
I'm not into, you know, erotic public sex or anything like that, but
I just do it. I'm not into it. I just do it. Because essentially what he's describing is he didn't consent to it because he was drunk and passed out and she just climbed on him.
Oh my God.
And that was all the alcohol.
She had knees, I had knees.
And he's not saying knees, he's saying needs. But
she
I do
had
like
knees, I had knees.
I do like, you know, she's got knees, I've got knees, she's got elbows, I got elbows, so that's when you're gonna start boning.
And that was all the alcohol.
She had knees, I had knees. It just happened. But from now on, we know we got to do it more discreetly.
We have learned a valuable lesson.
Haven't we all?
And most people figure this out when they're 12.
Right.
But these people have waited till their mid-40s to figure out.
And I'm thinking at least one of them isn't going to remember tomorrow.
No, remember, honey, we can't worry about your knees right now. Right. We have to be
I'm
inside.
Not sure. Are they actually a couple, or were they
that
just...
Part, it's
I don't think they're ever going to see each other again.
They're a couple in the biblical sense. I don't think she's a lady of the night, if that's what you're
wondering.
No.
I just meant I don't think they reside at the same address or will ever see each other again. But not that money changed hands, just that...
And there's a great way that the story started on... where the reporter goes, if you have children, you may want to send them to the next room. So we can't even report on this story in public, technically.
Right. That's funny. But they have needs and we have needs.
Everybody has needs.
And they've got to tell us. That's funny. By the way, that you might want to send more sensitive viewers from the room is like a ratings bump for them.
Oh, really?
You, you that, scramble like... and you call. You go, turn on 11 right now.
That's awesome.
I'm sure.
Oh, gosh. I would like to be able to be so passionate. I realized this. I was hanging out with a younger person at work.
Apparently.
She was pregnant. No, I'm kidding. It was actually another younger person, and he's got his girlfriend and him. They make out a lot.
Okay.
And because they're young, I don't know what they do beyond that, but there's lots of making out talk. And I just had this realization that I can't remember the last time I made out with my wife.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like a 12-year-old. Just
should I check the log?
Yeah, please let me know if it's – check the windowsill and make sure and see. Because if it's on the window – it definitely hasn't been since we were in the house. And I wonder if I'm doing something wrong. You know what I mean? Like I wonder if maybe the ladies out there – we've got moms that listen in a Periscope and a chat room.
Yeah.
Lady, would you like to just make out once? Is it just the coitus part that you're like, I'm not interested, but is – but it's making out. Because here's what I think. The reason why they're so into making out is because I think the other thing is not on the table. And once the thing is on the table and it's ethically fine, like nobody's going to really care, you know what I mean? Then I think that making out loses its
I find that when I put it on the table, it just changes the mood completely.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't initiate making out?
No, I have to keep it where it belongs. No, here's the thing. She never wants to make out at all. She hardly wants to kiss.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
she's like, let's get to it.
She's kind of like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Yes.
Where she's not going to kiss, you know, like that.
I like Luna's style.
Yeah.
Look at that. Does she like to cuddle afterwards?
No, she's giving away too much if she does does that. No. Get away from me, you're hot.
How perfect. Now, fair to say, you are not the guy who is wired where you're like, I wish that I don't like cuddling after. You are the guy who's wired that, you know, a little skin-on-skin contact post-coitus is a great thing.
I'll take skin-on-skin anytime.
Right.
Any part of my skin, any part of her skin.
But you know what I'm saying. The point I'm making is you are also – that's how you have found each other is that, God forbid, she end up with another guy who hangs drywall who would love nothing but to bend her over her, you know, beautiful bathroom that he's created for her.
Yes.
Just rail her while she's trying to brush her teeth and then walk away and not even make eye contact with her for the rest of the day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that would be like, oh, sweet relief to her.
Nirvana.
But of course, she ends up with a guy who's like, let's cuddle. Like you have to be with that person.
Yeah,
you know,
I know
what I mean?
Yes, because you have to be miserable. That's marriage.
Crushed it. All of our social media handles are in the description of this here episode. Hold on. So, Justin, there's your answer from the Hot Bomb Club. I got to get it. Steamy makeout session can be more of a turn on. Oh, nice makeout session is nice. Yes, making out is worth it. All right, fellas. The Hot Mom Club has answered. Our peanut gallery of vaginas has said, listen, don't go straight for the coitus.
Right. And as an honorary hot mom, I would go,
you would say yeah, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Or grandmothered
in. Grandmothered in my case, yes.
Oh, check out Justin is Married, Booker is Single. There's a new episode out this week and another one coming out next week. So we've got some in the hopper, as they say. Tell three people about this show. And if you want to watch the show on Periscope, if we keep doing this, I don't know. You can follow us on the Twitter at Dad Podcast. And I think that links to Periscope, all of that stuff. And Paco's going to tell you about our Amazon banner.
You have needs? We have needs. And you can do your needs on Amazon with the podcast banner and click through that and then bookmark on Amazon and one thing will lead to another and you buy something and it will help you and it will help us with our needs. Thank you.
Crushed it. Did Michael Caine pay Arthur? On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, Tom Hewitt for calling in, who's building a house right now that his mother-in-law does not appreciate, evidently. This is Justin Warsh from saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.